Welcome to Walking on the Wild Side, a podcast dedicated to exploring the flora and fauna of the Southeast and instilling in you, our listeners, an appreciation and admiration for the beauty and diversity of our natural resources. As always, I'm with my wife, Gabrielle, who through all of our adventures has become quite the naturalist herself.
Hey, y'all, and welcome back to Walking on the Wild Side.
You know it is late winter, early spring in South Carolina when in February we're sitting on the front porch and it's 80, and now here it is in March and we're wrapped up and it's in the 40s. Welcome to South Carolina.
I got a severe case of spring fever.
I got a fever.
We ain't got no more cowbell.
No more cowbell.
Haven't seen the cows in the backyard lately.
No, they're probably
frozen.
That's
a good thing.
I can't get over it. It's weird because, you know, we had that 2 weeks worth of 70s and 80s. And now here we are sitting on the porch. You've got the heater at your feet. You're wrapped in a couple of blankets. I've got my hood up. And there's pollen on all the furniture.
It's insane.
Welcome
to spring in South Carolina.
Spring in South Kakilaki. Well, speaking of spring, you know, when it gets to be kind of getting to be warm outside, what else comes out in the spring?
Oh my gosh. In the fall and the spring. There's like two seasons of these things.
That's true. But bugs get more active.
They do.
If you don't believe it, turn on your radio and just listen for about 5 minutes. I guarantee you'll probably hear 5 pest control company commercials. I mean, they're all talking about it. It's spring and the bugs want to come into your house.
Yes.
And, oh my gosh. But yeah, that's what's going on. I mean, between the bugs and the ladybugs.
Everybody's waking up. So for our friends and family in the low country, we know it's getting to be no-see-em season. Well,
yes.
There's a whole other different thing to have to deal with.
Yeah, at least we can see what's coming in the house. They can't until they feel it. You can't see it.
The screens.
That's the only animal I know that's 80% mouth, other than Joy Behar, but 80% mouth. So that's kind of interesting, isn't it?
So we probably, that's a podcast for another time.
Yeah, I think so, because that's a very interesting thing, because what people normally say is when they see an insect and it bites them, the first thing they always say is, what good is this insect? And a lot of them are a lot of good for what they do to the environment. And, you know, even the lowly no-see-em, I mean, it has a purpose. It definitely does. But if it makes anybody feel better,
our blood.
If it makes you feel better, there's actually a small, tiny little midge that actually feeds on the belly of mosquitoes. So, you know, even mosquitoes have no see-ems. So, you know, that should make you feel a little better. But
in our part of South Carolina, spring and fall is ladybug and stink bug season.
Stink bug season. And you know, it's funny. When you think of stink bugs, I mean, I think a lot of people see, maybe they see a stink bug, or maybe they just see a bug and they think it's a stink bug because they can be confused with non-stink bug bugs. But before we get too deep in the woods, what is a bug?
I think you know a stink bug when you smush one.
Well, when you smush one, you do. Absolutely. But have you ever thought about it when people say there's bugs all over the place, what they're talking about?
It's a very general term.
It is a very general term. In fact, I heard somebody say the other day, oh my gosh, we got bugs all over the place, like spiders and so on. I'm just cringing as I drive down the road because I'm just like, no. Ants aren't bugs, right? Beetles aren't bugs. There's actually a group of insects, an order of insects, that are called the true bugs. And it brings back the statement I love to say, which is, all bugs are insects, but not all insects are bugs, right?
Yep.
So when we talk about those kind of things, I think when you talk about pesticides or you talk about pest control companies, they group anything that's got 6 or more legs into bugs. But bugs are actually in a group. They're called hemipterans. Hmm. And it's crazy because you got hemipteran, you've got coleopteran, and your favorite butterflies are Lepidoptera. Yeah.
And Odonatas.
Odonatas. All those are groups of insects. They're in that phylum Arthropod. And then they get broken down into the class Insecta, and then they get broken down into these different little groups that are called hemipterans, homopterans, lepidopterans. Now, the P-T-E-R-A means wing.
Mm.
And that's where it comes across. So the homopterans has same or similar wing. The coleopteran, coleo means sheath wing. So think of beetles as having that hard shell covering over that, right?
Yeah.
Then you got lepidopteran, and that means scaled wing. So if you've ever looked at a butterfly wing up close, or look at your fingers when you touch one.
Yeah, got it on your fingers.
Those are all miniature shingles on the wings of those insects. But then you get to hemipteran, and that means halfway, hemi. So it's half membranous wing and half shielded wing. And that's the true bugs.
Hmm.
And when we talk about true bugs now, we're talking about most of the insects that are considered to be agricultural pests, a lot of them. You're talking about aphids. You're talking about leafhoppers, scale insects. All these guys that feed on like agricultural plants, food crops like fruits, veggies, leafy vegetables and stuff. All these guys get on that and they use these mouth parts. They're piercing, sucking mouth parts, and they pierce the tissues of the plants and they suck the juice out.
Hmm.
Now, sometimes they can transmit diseases that way. But for the most part, they cause those bruises, those little cuts and holes and stuff that you see in like when people don't want to eat a tomato because it's got a bruise, or they don't want to eat an apple because it's got a hole in it and stuff. It's because insects make those holes. Now, that piercing, sucking mouth part is not only just for vegetarians, as we say with bugs.
Hmm.
There's also predators. And these predators play an extremely important part in keeping the number of agricultural pests down. So these guys hunt these other insects, including other bugs. So there is a true bug that feeds on a stink bug. There's a predatory stink bug that feeds on other insects.
Wow.
But one of my favorites, and they got some cool names too. They got some cool names like assassin bugs.
What?
And one of my favorites is called a wheel bug. And I mean, this thing, this wheel bug is about an inch and a half long. And it's called a wheel bug because on the back of its thorax, it has like a spiny, looks like the spokes of a wheel.
Mm.
And this dude creeps around and he hunts and he'll find something like a, let's say a caterpillar.
Yep.
He'll whip out that long beak-like mouth part. It's called a proboscis. And he stabs it into it, injects venom, and it liquefies the inside and then he sucks it all back out. Isn't that cool? And here's the funny thing, though. If you handle one of these big old wheel bugs, he'll do the same to your finger. He can poke a hole and inject that venom, and it hurts. I mean, it hurts. Now, it's not going to kill you or anything like that, but it is certainly going, you're going to feel it.
Right.
But for the most part, most of these guys, they don't bother humans too much, right? The vegetarian bugs, as we say, some of them can be quite beautiful. There's a harlequin bug that's like a red and a black and white. And then there's a couple of them that have real kind of geometric patterns on the back that make them really stand out. Some of them, like the milkweed bug, has black and red and he really stands out. And you think, boy, predators can find him. Well, that's that aposomatic coloration we talk about that actually draws attention to it and says, hey, man, I taste pretty nasty. You don't want to eat me. And it works.
Right.
And other insects mimic him. So it's really kind of, the bugs do all that kind of stuff. But just when we talk about the beneficial ones like the predators, we've also got some that are not so good for us. How about bed bugs?
Ooh.
Yeah, that's a true little bug.
Wah, wah,
and then another one I think is really kind of disgusting. You ever heard of Chagas disease?
Mm-mm.
So that's a disease that's spread by a little kind of a parasite kind of thing. Trypanosoma cruzi. Is the scientific name for it, but you may know it as Chaga, or you may not, but you will know the bug, the kissing bug. You ever heard of that?
No.
So that came over from other countries, and they hide in cracks and crevices in your house, and then at night, they crawl down, and usually they're attracted like the carbon dioxide you're breathing, and they'll come down, and they normally bite right on the edge of the lips, or around the eyes, but usually around the lips. And that's why it's called the kissing bug. And when it bites you, it's trying to eat blood so it can molt into an adult and it can mate and then have babies.
Ew.
Well, you, is that pretty disgusting?
Yeah.
Well, you want it to get even worse?
No.
So they don't transmit the disease through the piercing, sucking mouth parts. They have that disease, that parasite in their gut. So what they do is when they suck on somebody's blood and they're feeding, they poop. And then what you do is it itches. You scratch it and you dig it into your skin and that's how the disease gets into your body.
Ew.
So, so bugs are, you know, they can be good, they can be bad, and then they can be really bad. We say the good, the bad, and the ugly. All right, I know that's kind of disgusting. Let's not talk about that anymore. You all right with that?
Yeah, let's move on.
Yeah, I think you're fine with that,
that's
aren't
gross.
You? Well, okay, so Let's talk about stink bugs then. We want to talk about stink bugs.
That's why we're here. Yes, let's talk about these little pesky things that are like kamikazes flying around the house, dying in your windowsills.
Spinning around the light fixtures.
Spinning around the light fixtures. Yep. Well, and when you try to squish one.
All right. Now you're just going to have to stop it. All right. You told me the other day.
I know.
That you like the smell of stink bugs.
I do.
So.
You know, it's.
No, you look at me when I tell you skunk stink.
It's polarizing. Like cilantro. People either love or hate cilantro. They either enjoy the flavor or they say it tastes like soap. And I think stink bugs are the same way.
Well, I just want everyone to acknowledge the fact that you think I'm weird because I like the smell of a skunk.
Yes.
So here you are being kind of weird liking the smell of stink bugs. I just want to get that on the record.
Why be normal?
Well,
right?
Exactly. Yeah, that's true. Well, do you believe there's like 12 species of stink bugs? In South Carolina?
And I am proud to say that I like the smell of stink bugs. To me, it smells very earthy and herbally.
Well, it's funny that you mentioned cilantro because a lot of people think it either smells like skunks or cilantro. I happen to think it tastes like cilantro because I'm not as big a fan of cilantro as you are.
You eat stink bugs?
No, I eat cilantro. Did I get that wrong?
I think you did.
No, I said I don't mind the taste of cilantro, but a lot of people say that the stink bug smells like cilantro taste. And that's what we're kind of getting at, right? Because you said
right.
A lot of people think cilantro tastes like soap.
Yes.
And a lot of people think it tastes herby and delicious, right?
Yes, I totally get that. I don't get skunk out of stink bug, but I can see cilantro out of stink bug. Definitely has an herbally scent.
Yeah, well, I think I agree with that. I mean, So a stink bug, if he's crawling around and you push him with your finger, he's not going to stink.
No.
But when you grab him, you don't have to crush him. When
right.
you grab him, he immediately cuts it loose.
Yes.
And it's really kind of interesting because I think they only emit that odor when they're threatened. But it's hard for them to produce. So obviously they're only going to employ that defense mechanism. And that's what it is. It's a defense mechanism. They employ that because it takes a lot of energy to make it. So you're not going to waste it. Remember, we talk about like snake bite venom and stuff like that. You know, snakes don't want to bite something that they're not going to eat because if they do that, they're going to lose their, you know, ability to catch some food.
Right.
Well, stink bug exerts a lot of energy. And if he squirts every time something bumps him, well, he's not going to have it when he needs it. So they've got these special organs in their thorax and in their abdomen. And what they do, and it's kind of interesting because they have this smell. And it's funny because a lot of people do think that smell is skunk-like, but a skunk has a very sulfurous, like sulfur-based compounds that they spray.
It's very musky.
It is
oily.
Very, well, and like burned rubber, burning hair. A lot of people have said burning hair and stuff like that. Well, these guys don't have that type of smell. It's more like they've got these esters, right? These aldehydes. That's what makes up these compounds. I mean, it's mainly alkanes, aldehydes, esters. Whereas a skunk is more sulfurous compound, so it's completely different, but it does the same thing. It has the same effect. A skunk does it because he's using it for defense.
Right.
A stink bug does it because he's using it for defense. So it's kind of interesting. It's kind of that converted evolution, you know. It just kind of happens independently but similarly, which is kind of interesting, I think. But they've done tests. All right, they've taken those chemical compounds that the stink bug uses, and they take crickets. And they'll squirt it on crickets, and then they'll feed it to birds, or they'll feed it to lizards or things that eat other insects. And they found that it is a very, very effective defense.
It's very pungent.
It is. Well, the birds will run away from it pretty much. So, you know, it's kind of interesting how that works with birds and things. However, insect and arachnid predators doesn't seem to bother too much. So they just grab it and keep on going. You know why? Which is kind of interesting.
What's that?
They don't have a sense of smell.
Oh, well, there you go.
Well, that kind of basically lays it down, right? I mean, that's what stink bugs do. Now, normally stink bugs, they have natural predators, right? And their populations stay pretty much in balance. When winter time is coming, when the fall, you know, starts getting cooler, when the length of the day starts getting a little less and stuff.
Yeah.
All these insects, these stink bugs and things like that, they all kind of start to say, okay, well, winter's coming. We better get prepared. So most of them are like they can live in leaf litter. They can crawl up under crooks and crevices and cracks and things like that, or they can crawl up under bark and knot holes, all kinds of natural places. And
what are you calling a knot hole?
I'm a knot hole. Well, you're a knot hole because you like the way they smell.
Yep, that's right.
Sorry about that. That's my fault.
I'll own it.
Okay. Well, so they hide normally, right? Most of these insects, they last probably around 8 months or so, right? Hmm. Well, enter public enemy number one.
Okay? Humans.
No. A new type of stink bug.
What?
Right? Remember, we have the natural predators. So, you know, you don't see green stink bugs, do you?
No.
You see them occasionally. We'll see them out in the garden occasionally, right? And you'll see them, and there's a few of them here and there and stuff, but their natural abundance is kept in place by natural predators, right? It's a predator-prey relationship. That nature's such a great balance. Mm-hmm. Well, now we introduce this funky new stink bug. It doesn't have natural predators. It also has another behavior that's very annoying.
Uh-oh.
But first of all, where did it come from? Well, if you guys have looked around your windows, if you've looked around your door sills, your window sills and stuff like that, you may have noticed a big increase in brown stink bugs. Now, you've seen that, right?
Yes, that's mostly what we see.
Yeah, we do. And this is not something, we didn't see this in the low country.
No.
Right? We didn't see it in the mountains. It's actually been just kind of a relatively new thing in the past 5 or 6 years, hadn't it? That we've noticed it.
Yeah.
Would you agree with
that? Yeah, I'd say that's a fair assessment.
Well, this one's called a brown marmorated stink bug. Okay, we're going to call it a BMSB, a brown marmorated stink bug. Now, it is a new, kind of a nuisance pest that has come over. It came over from Asia, I believe, is where they said it came from. But it was in the 1990s. It was found in Allentown, Pennsylvania.
Oh.
And from that point, it spread. And when I say it spread, I mean it spread like crazy. It can be found now in almost every state and almost all the provinces in Canada. It is coast to coast, north to south. It's everywhere.
That's pretty prolific for it to be able to survive in Canada.
Well, and the reason it survives is because, of course, it has no natural predators.
Ah.
And then the other thing it does is it's able to find its way to get home. Well, okay. You want to know why it really has a tendency to survive? It does a unique behavior. It actually puts out a pheromone that when it finds a nice, warm, toasty place, puts out a pheromone, and all the stink bugs in the area come to that location. That's why you find them gathered in your house, gathered at your windowsills. They all seem to be in one location. They're not just widely spread. They're in one location. So this bug has no natural predators. Okay. It loves to seek warm places, which is where we live. And when it does, it sends out a distress call that calls all the other marmorated stink bugs.
Great.
Right. Now, if there is a silver lining, they don't bite.
Right.
Okay. So they're not, they're just more of a pain. They do have that characteristic stink. So when you crush them, now I read a story about, I think a gentleman was in Florida and he had them in his condo and he went in with a vacuum cleaner and vacuumed them up. He vacuumed up about 8,000 stink bugs and he had to throw away his vacuum cleaner after that because it stunk so bad. Now the stink smell is not the same pheromone that actually calls all them to him. That's a different one. So if you crush one, all the other ones aren't going to come to the funeral. So it's a different pheromone. In fact, I don't even think we can detect that smell, but it's different from the defense smell. They don't bite, which is good. But again, their sheer numbers can be extremely annoying. I mean, I know that's like I said, they just everywhere now and they become so prolific.
Yes. And I don't know why, but it seems like, you know, we get them in the fall, we get them in the spring, but this year there wasn't a break. Like, we went straight through when they started getting in. We saw them straight through winter from fall to now. Well, we didn't get a break from them.
A lot of them live like 6 to 8 months. That's about their lifespan. So if you think about it, when we get into winter and it gets super, super cold, most of them die. Mm-hmm. Did we get super, super cold here?
Oh, yeah. We had a pretty mild winter this year.
So the bad thing is, we're actually, one, the population is getting larger because of new predators. Mm-hmm. Two, our mild winters are allowing them to proliferate and grow even more. So we're not getting rid of these anytime soon. Now, the crazy thing is, because they have no natural enemies, there's no biocontrol, right?
Right.
Well, now they're starting to bring in some things like a specific, target-specific little wasp that parasitizes that little bug. Mm. Now, for me, it's going to be interesting because they look like there's a potential for them to release this. I hope what happens is this thing doesn't go after our native stink bugs, because our native stink bugs are, you know, they're aligned with our ecology. The natural predator-prey relationship is working there. So there could be other animals that depend specifically on the native stink bugs for food. And then that's going to cause that reverberating effect that happens, you know, whenever we do something like we try to control one thing, but we end up releasing a monster that we really shouldn't have released. So I'm hoping that's not going to happen. I mean, I hope that, I think they need to try and figure out some kind of way to control them. And I hope they can do it biologically, because obviously the last thing we need are more chemicals sprayed in and around and stuff. But the problem is they live in the walls. And what scares me is that one guy, he went up into his attic and he saw them, they were all in his attic. So the best defense against these guys is you should really make sure your house is sealed up and tight. That's really the best way to keep them out. I mean, good Lord, we've got enough going on around here with termites and mosquitoes and things like that getting in the house. Now we got the stink bug. Yeah. And even on top of that, which is a podcast for another time, is thousands and thousands of ladybugs. And guess what? That's actually an invasive species of ladybug. I mean, it's just something. So all these things, how they got here was they came over on a boat hidden in some packaging and stuff like that. That's what happens with a lot of our invasive agricultural pests. They came over from other countries on ships and stuff. But, you know, it's you think about it, a 1-inch insect. How are you going to comb an entire ship and find one insect, right?
Yeah.
So you can see how things like that happen. But I would say probably our customs departments and our agricultural departments and things like that have gotten much, much better because they've seen the devastation this stuff can cause. So
I know a lot of times, too, now they use the dogs that are trained to sniff those kind of things out.
I'll tell you what, with a stink bug, you don't need a dog.
No.
You just go around and sniff, and there it is. And you can walk around the ship and you go, ooh, something smells good. I wonder what that is.
Is that cilantro?
Ooh, I like cilantro. Well, how about that? Does that explain kind of what we talked about when you were asking about the stink bugs and why there were so many?
Yes.
You think that explained it?
I think so.
Cool. You got any more questions about stinkies?
I don't.
Oh, gosh. I remember going in my class when I was up at Clemson. I remember taking my my entomology class, and we had to do a bug collection, an insect collection. And I got the stink bugs, and I got a few other of the different types of bugs that looked like stink bugs. But we did not have brown marmorated stink bugs at that time.
Hmm.
So they weren't around when I was in school, which was the 1300s.
I was going to say, well, it's not like that was just yesterday.
So. That's true. Yeah, well. All right. Well, that's going to do it for our podcast for this. Hope everybody learned a little bit about stink bugs. And the biggest thing is, I want you guys to understand, if you have stink bugs in your house, it does not mean that you're not a good housekeeper. These guys can press themselves down flat and they can fit into little tiny crevices. So don't fret about it. Just get them up and get them out.
Just like that's a palmetto really bug.
That's right. Just like a palmetto bug, which is the real estate nice name for American cockroach.
The state bird. Some of them are big enough. State bug of South Carolina.
Gosh, ain't that the truth. Well, cool. Well, good. I'm glad we did that. So now that we're finished with our podcast, you know what that means, right?
It's teaser time.
Boy, I'm going to tell you what now. This one is calls for another subject to talk about.
Yes.
Don't you think?
Yes, it is.
Yes. I mean, yeah, it's one of those subjects that I've always wanted to talk about, you know, and after we went through 2020 with COVID, you know, we just had to keep on doing our podcast and things. So
you are dropping hints like they're hot.
I am hot. Well, it's nothing to crow about. I mean, you know, it's going to be a cool subject. And I just, did I give it away?
Yes.
Oh my gosh. Well, I guess there's no teaser for that one.
Good Lord have mercy.
I couldn't help it. There's so many cool little things we can talk about. So, yeah, if you guys can't put two and two together there, you deserve to have stink bugs in your house. But you know what? If you want to.
You totally gave it away.
I know. Gave it away now.
Well, that's just a murder of a topic if ever I heard one.
Yes. There you go.
You're welcome.
Yeah,
you're welcome. That
is so good. Oh, my gosh. I murdered that. That's great. It's so funny. I can't believe you're that good at that stuff.
I listen.
That's amazing. So, hey, look, as we always say, though, you know, you might be able to walk on the wild side in your house a little bit with all the stink bugs in there, but I think if you really want a great experience, where do they need to go, babe?
They need to go
walking on the wild side.